The Hard Way. Written by Dusty Loves. Read by SBL. Fandom, 魔道祖师. Relationship, 蓝灯未赢. Rating, explicit. Summary, 未赢 makes a mistake and finds out the hard way.
You're really staying with Lantern? You mean actual Lantern? Alpha thirst trap Lantern?
Niu Huaisang's incredulous voice echoes in the quiet cafeteria.
Yes!
Wing scowls, slides a chunk of watermelon off the fruit skewer with her teeth. She brandishes the empty skewer at Niu Huaisang accusingly.
You never believe when I say I have other friends. No, I just don't believe when you say you're friends with Lantern.
Stop saying her name like that. You make it sound like she's an idol.
Well, isn't she?
Niu Huaisang points out.
All the baby omegas in Philosophy 18 are going to hunt you for a sport if they find out about this.
Wayne has to concede. She had taken just one class with Lantern last semester, Intro to Philosophy of History. Lantern was the stillest and most terrifying person she'd ever seen. She sat at the head of the seminar table, listening to the class discussion with her head tilted away from them. She was pin neat, with shiny, dark cropped hair, wore soft wool sweaters with the sleeves rolled up, exposing lean, muscled forearms and sharp wrists when she made longhand notes in her little jotter. Whenever anyone said something disagreeable, she fixed them with a long look and murmured,
"Interesting."
And the whole class shuddered. At the end of the semester, Lantern left the room while they filled out their class evaluations. And an Omega girl had turned to Wei-Ying and said loudly,
"I need her to sit on my face."
Wei-Ying laughed awkwardly.
Then there was a sharp bang as the door slammed shut. They all glanced up, caught a flash of Lantern's face at the window. The Omega girl flushed bright red and daring returned to her usual color for an hour.
"Those baby omegas have nothing to worry about," Wayne says.
"Lantern's just doing me a favor. I'm not even staying there for long."
"But why is she doing you a favor?" Niu Huaisang demands.
There's something extremely insulting about the way she enunciates the pronouns.
"Because we're friends," says Wayne,
and Niu Huaisang scoffs.
Actually, they aren't, but Wayne has no intention of letting Niu Huaisang or anyone know the real circumstances which led to her crashing in Lantern's decadently enormous spare room.
Wenqing needed her folding couch back now that Wenning was moving in, so Wenying had assured her that she had another place to stay, which was essentially a lie. The place was a 24-hour computer lab on campus. Lantern found Wenying asleep there at 5 a.m., lying across three vinyl chairs pushed together, with a leather jacket draped over her like a blanket. She'd awakened, startled to Lantern towering over her, stern face and censorious.
"Oh, Lantern, I was just..."
Wing's voice was croaky from sleep.
"Reserving my study space. You have to get here early for the good computers."
Lantern's eyes had flicked over to the large, battered travel suitcase with a peeling hot pink sticker declaring, "Better's do it better," then traveled slowly back to Wing.
"Okay, well, to be honest, I just had enough of my roommates for the night," Wing tried. "They're a real nightmare. It's much better here, Lantern, trust me."
Lantern's face hardened further, if possible. She said nothing, but her eyes bored a hole in Wei-Ying's skull.
"Okay, fine,"
burst out Wei-Ying, and that was how she ended up telling Lantern everything. Lantern hadn't offered a place to stay, exactly. She just said,
"Come with me,"
and hustled Wei-Ying into her car. Wei-Ying had meant to argue, but she was so tired she kept nodding off and bumping her head against the car window, and once inside, she'd taken one look at the perfectly pressed white linen sheets and fluffy pillows on Lantern's spare bed, collapsed onto it, and passed out for 12 hours straight.
Anyway, you make it sound like something lewd is going on, Wayne complains. It's all totally above board. She's just being a nice person. It's just one kind alpha grad student offering one room of her huge house to one better undergrad in need. What could be more appropriate than that? Niu Huiseng mutters something inaudible. Wayne narrows her eyes. What? Niu Huiseng coughs. Nothing. What's her place like? Let me guess. She's got a harem of omegas stashed in there. Lin Zhen isn't that kind of alpha, Wayne insists. They don't all go chasing their nuts around all the time, Niu Huiseng. I'm frankly disappointed in you for propagating this type of regressive anti-feminist myth.
I'm speaking from experience, Niu Huiseng says, long-suffering. My dear Jason Alpha, I thank the universe every day for her moving out. Alpha dyke drama? Way too much to deal with.
Linton's too smart for drama, Wayne says, and at that precise moment, Linton appears as if summoned, sweeping through the cafeteria, trench coat hanging loose and open over her blazer and corduroys, her hair lightly ruffled from the wind outside. She sees Wayne, gives one brisk nod, unsmiling, and keeps walking, her long legs making long strides, cutting between the tables, through the double doors, to the meeting room beyond.
Wow,
Niu Huiseng sighs, sinking forward, chin on her hand.
You live with that. Have you seen her naked yet?
Shut up, Wayne says weakly. There's a funny twist in her stomach, and she's running a bit warm suddenly.
I think I'm getting the flu.
Niu Huiseng says, and doesn't sound surprised at all. Wayne knows that Niu Huiseng's wrong, that everything is fine and normal and Lin Zhen is just a generous person, but she keeps picking over the conversation like picking a scab. The words, "But why is she doing you a favor?" playing a loop in her head. She doesn't have money for rent, but maybe she could contribute something for electricity or offer to go grocery shopping or something? She knows she can't stay here indefinitely, no matter how many times Lin Zhen says,
"It is no trouble,"
in her slow, dismissive way. They should probably work out some kind of timeline for Wayne leaving. Wayne's aware she has the personality of a stray cat. Someone feeding her once doesn't give her the license to follow them around forever, but she never really learned another way to be. She steeled herself, is ready to have the serious adult conversation, but when Wayne gets home, Lin Zhen isn't there.
Lin Zhen?
She calls, walking from room to room.
Lin Zhen?
The front door wasn't locked. It doesn't seem like Lin Zhen to make such a mistake. Wayne sits on the living room couch with her jacket still on, taps out a text.
Where are you?
It takes a few minutes for the second checkmark to appear.
Downstairs.
Wayne can't figure it out at first, gets up and starts opening doors again, like Lin Zhen might be secretly tucked away in a closet or something. She does another round of the ground floor rooms before it clicks that she must mean the basement. Wayne's never been down there before, although Lin Zhen had pointed it out to her the day after she'd arrived. There's a stairwell leading to another doorway. It gets warmer and more humid with each descending step, and a feverish, fluey feeling starts to wash over Wayne again in waves. She grabs the handrail tight, her fingers already slippery with sweat, pauses on the stairs and takes a steadying breath, praying she doesn't faint.
It'll be so beyond embarrassing if she falls down and hits her head.
Lin Zhen will have to come and drive her to the hospital. Okay, she whispers to herself. God, what is wrong with her? Okay. She wobbles down on jelly legs and pushes the door open. It's like walking into a sauna.
The heat immediately smacks her in the face. The sand, too, thick and overpowering, woody and smoky like incense. Wayne can't identify it, but it's strangely pleasant. She finds herself taking in deep, gulping breaths of it without meaning to. Is it some kind of super strong air freshener? There's a home gym set up down here, racks with giant gleaming weight plates and chunky rubber dumbbells, a bench, a mat. Linton's standing under a tall steel squat stand with a heavy-looking barbell resting on her shoulders. Linton. Wayne didn't think it was possible to flush anymore, with how warm and sweaty she is already, but she does. Linton's more scantily dressed than Wayne's ever seen her, in a white sleeveless men's tank, nipped in with some kind of state-of-the-art weightlifter's belt and a tiny pair of black shorts. Wayne has never imagined exactly what Lencia would look like with her limbs bare, but she thinks she would have imagined differently. Like, with clothes on, Lencia looks almost slender, but without, she is not that. Her shoulders are built, deltoids rounded. There's a deep dip before the flare of her biceps. Her legs are thick and firm-looking, fleshy thighs bursting out from beneath her shorts, calves curving elegantly like treble clefs. One thigh has a tattoo in heavy black lines, some kind of bird of prey with its wings fanned out. Lanchen, says Wing. Her mouth is very dry suddenly. She realizes she's still looking at the tattoo and has to consciously drag her eyes up to Lanchen's face.
Lanchen, how can you work out in here? It's way too hot.
Lanchen quirks an eyebrow at her, then jerks her head towards the thermostat on the wall opposite. Wing goes over to look. The black number reads 54 degrees. But that can't be right.
It's broken, Wayne exclaims, turning around. But Linton is sinking into a slow squat with a barbell.
Her face is taut with concentration, a gleam of sweat on her forehead catching the light. When she rises again, it's with a quiet grunt, a little ugh. Wayne sways on the spot, faint again. She takes in a shuddering breath, a lungful of that herby incense scent. She can feel her pulse thundering, hear her heartbeat in her ears. Linton's broken out in a flush over her collarbone and her chest. How far down does it go, Wayne wonders. What a weird thought to have about a friend.
It's at least 100 degrees in here, she says.
Her voice sounds odd, distorted. Like she's underwater and hearing it from the surface.
Wing,
Linton grits out, strained because she's pushing up with a barbell again.
Wing's stomach swoops for some reason.
Are you feeling well?
Actually, I have been feeling kind of weird, Wing says, and touches her own face, pressing the back of her hand to her cheek, then her forehead. Why? Do I look sick?
This time, Linton's grunt is louder as she rises. Wayne's skin prickles.
Maybe you should go and lie down,
Linton says, panting a little. There's a metal clang as she offloads the barbell onto the rack, and then she's walking over. Wayne can see all the muscle and sinew in her body tightening and shifting as she moves, like a film in slow motion. Linton reaches a hand out to Wayne's face, and Wayne says,
"What?"
Although it comes out so soft and breathless, it's more like, "What?" The back of Linton's hand is cool on Wayne's forehead.
"You have a fever,"
she says.
Her voice is rich and dark and deep. Wei feels it rumbling through her whole body, reverberating in her bones. It feels as though someone drew a long line with her fingertip from the top of her neck all the way to the base of her spine.
Oh,
Wei says, shivering. Linton takes her hand away, and Wei's knees give out. Linton catches and steadies her, gripping both Wei's arms. Her hands are big. Wei never noticed how big before, even sitting right in front of Linton in class for all those months. They encircle each of Wei's biceps, her fingertips meeting her thumbs.
Let's get you upstairs,
Linton says. She takes one hand off Wei's arm. Wei hisses through her teeth. It feels searingly hot there, scalded, and she glances down, half expecting Linton's palm to have made a print. Then Linton bends, and before Wei's realize what's happening, she's scooping Wei's into her arms, her hand firmly gripping Wei's by the back of her knees.
Linton! What? You don't need to!
Wei tries to protest, but Linton's marching them out of the basement gym, through the open door, and up the stairs. Linton isn't even breathing hard. Wei feels so light in her arms, like a kid.
Huh,
she says. Her voice has gone embarrassingly weak and thready. She slumps against Linton's warm chest. Linton's skin is a little sweat damp, which should be gross, but it isn't. It helps that Linton smells so nice, like that addictive scent Wei noticed before. Wei's cheek is pressed against Linton's shoulder, her nose to Linton's neck. She can't help but nuzzle against the soft skin, just slightly, breathing in deep.
You smell good,
she slurs, her eyes falling closed. There's a bang, and she opens them again. Linton's kicked open the bathroom door.
You need to go down,
Linton says, and bends again to deposit Wei gently on the closed toilet lid. A tiny bereft whine falls out of Wei's mouth. She wants Linton to touch her again. It didn't feel so bad when they were touching. Linton's running the bath now.
Stay,
she says in a warning tone, like Wei's a dog or something, and Wei bites her lip and squirms, but stays when Linton leaves. She listens to Linton's footsteps, the occasional creak of the floorboards, the faint sounds of drawers opening and closing in the kitchen, and stays perfectly still. Even where her teeth start chattering, even where her bones start twinging, her muscles screaming. The bath's nearly full when Linton returns with a metal pail filled with ice, and tips it upside down into the water, splashing, before she turns the faucets off.
Come on, Wei,
Linton says, turning towards her. Linton's voice is so soft and musical. Wei doesn't understand how she never noticed before. She leans forward, nudging her head against Linton's t-shirt. Takes a deep, heaving breath, like she's starved of the oxygen. Feels relief spread through her body, pleasure trickling through her veins. The minutes of separation had hurt. That really hurt. Wei only realizes how bad it hurt now that it's no longer hurting. Linton's hands come up to cradle the back of Wei's head at the base of her skull. And that feels so good, so right, she actually moans, opening her mouth against Linton's t-shirt, getting it damp with her drool. Linton's body jerks like she's received an electric shock, and she takes her hands away.
Wei,
she says.
Bath.
Wei whimpers and doesn't move. Linton grabs the bottom of her t-shirt and pulls, and Wei obediently raises her arms, lets her peel it off. She doesn't complain when Linton unclasps her bra and tucks the straps over her shoulders and down her arms. Even though dimly, she's aware she should be self-conscious. All of that seems far away.
She can't think about anything other than Lantern's big hands, getting them back on her skin. Every brush of Lantern's fingertips sends lightning zinging through her. When they slide under the waistband of Wing's jeans to pull them off, she gasps and trembles. Lantern says. Wing stands, and Lantern bends to pick her up. For one glorious moment, Wing is gathered naked in Lantern's arms. A moment later, she's dumped unceremoniously in the ice bath.
Lantern!
She shrieks, limbs flailing. She tries to hold herself upright, but slips and sinks under the water again.
Stay,
says Lantern.
It will help.
It won't,
Wing argues, through her chattering teeth.
It's not going to help. It really hurts, Lantern.
Shh,
says Lantern, sits herself on the toilet lid, and reaches out, offering her hand. Wing grabs onto it like a lifeline, not even caring that her own is sopping wet, that she's dripping ice water all over the floor.
Don't go,
she pleads, digging her fingernails into Lantern's palm. Lantern assents. To Wing's immense surprise, it really does help. Lantern holds onto her hand tight and hums a low, soothing melody like a lullaby. The Wing's breaths even out. She stops sweating and shivering. Her heart rate slows. She goes limp, sagging with her head resting on the edge of the bathtub, her eyes fluttering closed.
It's good,
says Wing, still slurring.
So's Marlon, Chen. You know everything. How do you know everything?
Lantern doesn't answer, but she gives her hand a quick squeeze. Wing's nearly asleep when Lantern says,
Time up.
She mews when Lantern lets go of her hand, but it's not so bad, because a second later, Lantern's hoisting her up in her arms again. Wing can feel she's soaking through Lantern's t-shirt, but Lantern doesn't flinch at all, even though the water must feel freezing. Wing's barely aware of her surroundings, sliding in and out of consciousness. It's all a haze of Lantern's scent, Lantern's skin, Lantern giving commands in her soft, authoritative voice, manipulating Wing's body with her sure, clever hands. At some point, Wing is bundled into something warm and soft and good-smelling and tucked into a bed that she's pretty sure it's not her own. She doesn't ask any questions. She's relinquished the right to. Lantern knows everything, she thinks blurrily, right before she falls asleep. She feels better when she blinks awake in the morning, more clear. She takes stock of her body. Her temperature feels normal. She isn't in pain. She's in Lantern's bed, she guesses, remembering how clingy and needy and naked she'd got, and her insides ripe with humiliation. Cautiously, she shifts, preparing to drag herself upright when... Oh! Something gushes between her legs. She wonders if she started her period, but it doesn't feel like that, no cramping or discomfort. Actually, it feels good, just like ordinary horny wetness, but more... an intense, tingly, full-body shock of arousal and an accompanying rush of slick all the way down her thighs. Wing's hand has drifted between her legs before she's even thought about it. She pushes her hips up, humping against the heel of her hand, gets the same deep thrum of arousal, even sharper and more vivid this time, enough that she has to let out a shuddery breath. She brings her hand out from under the covers, examines the slick. It's thicker than usual, more viscous, and it has a strong, sweet smell like honeysuckle.
Must be some hormonal thing, Wing guesses, and wipes off on her shorts. Which are, she realizes belatedly, not hers.
Lantern had dressed her. The hoodie she's wearing is a couple of sizes too big. Wayne pulls the neck up over her nose, inhales deeply. Lantern. She makes a quick danger dash across the hall to her own room, desperate to avoid Lantern in her sodden shorts. Once inside, she learns the following cursed pieces of information. Her phone is on 5%. She has a lecture in 20 minutes, and Nia Huaisan wants to know if Jiang Teng is an alpha. Disgusting. She's hopping around the room with one leg in her jeans when she hears Lantern from across the hall.
Wei Ying?
Immediately, helplessly, her stomach dips and her body releases another spurt of slag, and that... yeah, that is going to be a problem. She's only just managed to get her zipper up when Lantern knocks the door.
Yeah?
Wei Ying,
Lantern says, stopping in the doorway and frowning. She looks cozy, holding a steaming cup of tea, tiny in her enormous hands. She's wearing a forest green cable knit sweater over her dark brown tailored corduroys today. The sweater is loose, neckline falling to expose the tops of her pale collarbones, and the color makes her eyes glow gold.
Wing sends up a silent eulogy for her pussy.
What are you doing?
I've got class, says Weiying.
Lantern, did you think it was the weekend? Am I finally more organized than you?
Lantern, mark the date. I'm going to write down the calendar.
But you're...
sick?
Wayne starts ferreting around in her floor robe for a pair of clean socks.
I don't know, I feel much better today.
I think that ice bath really did the trick, Lantern. I definitely don't have a fever anymore. Maybe it was one of those 24-hour things. Or like food poisoning? I should know better by now than to trust what you get in that unsanitary-ass cafeteria.
Thank you, by the way,
she adds, glancing up to meet Lantern's startled gaze.
Lantern, my savior! My knight in shining armor! I owe you, seriously!
Wei Ying,
Lantern says urgently.
Stay home from class today. It's not safe.
Her tone throws Wei Ying off a bit. She sounds so serious.
Aw, Lantern, it's so sweet of you to worry about me like this,
Wing says, pulling on a sock.
I'll really be fine. It's only one lecture. I would skip, but I really shouldn't miss anymore or I'll lose credits.
I'll write you a note, says Lantern.
Wing blinks, straightens up.
That's okay, Lantern. You've done me so many favors already. I really better be going. I'm about to be late.
Lantern won't budge in the doorway, so Wing pushes past her, placing a hand on her rock-hard bicep as she does so.
Accidentally. At the same time,
she catches a waft of Lantern's scent. It's all far too much. Too intense. This pull in her gut. She has to hold her breath, exhale long and slow. Halfway down the hall, she feels Lantern's gaze, looks over her shoulder, and finds Lantern watching her knowingly, eyes dark. We won't get to jerk off for at least another 2 hours. There is no justice in this world.
Ma'am, are you okay?
It's a fair question. She stopped in the hall outside the lecture theater, hand braced against the pillar, and bowed, hyperventilating. There are too many scents. Sweat and rubber, hairspray and leather, new notepaper and cheap deodorant. Wink's never thought about the smell of a freshly sharpened graphite pencil before, but it has one, and at the moment it's pissing her off. Her face is getting hot again, her mind fogging over. Lantern was right, she thinks pathetically. Didn't she learn this last night? That Lantern is always right? Why must she force herself to learn this yet again, the hard way?
Ma'am?
Okay. Just need a minute,
she pants. The man places a hand between her shoulder blades. Wing is sure it's meant to be comforting, but it's just too much, the weight of it,
It feels wrong. And he's got a scent too. Reeks of gasoline. And it makes her feel sick and dazy, as if she's really huffing from a petrol tank. She's rolling her shoulders to shrug him off before it occurs to her that it might seem rude, and she glances back, opening her mouth to say something, apologize, when she recognizes him. It's Jin Zuxun, that weird relative of her sister's boyfriend she's seen hanging around their house. Wayne knows little about him, apart from that he's an alpha, loud and kind of aggressive. And now, she gathers from the incredulous curl of his lip, he is not well pleased with her.
Listen, man,
she starts, but it's the wrong tactic. His eyes narrow, shoulders squaring.
Okay, she backtracks. Sorry, all right? I'm not feeling great right now. I don't want to be touched. It's nothing personal, okay? I'm sorry.
Jin Zuxun scoffs.
Wow, and here I was just trying to help. And even a mega hit could act so stuck up.
Hey, fuck you!
Wayne snaps, and then, through the fog in her brain, his words register.
What?
She doesn't get a chance to make Jin Zuxun repeat himself, because at that moment, Lan Chen swoops in, glowering.
Jin Zuxun, she greets him.
Jin Zuxun's eyes dart between them, like he's figuring something out.
Oh, so it's like that, huh? He says. Just as well. Your pet needs a leash, Lan Chen. It's misbehaving.
Lan Chen reacts before Wei Ying even understands what was said, gliding towards him with one arm outstretched, specter-like. Her hand wraps around his throat, squeezes tight. He turns red, struggling both his hands coming up to tug on Lan Chen's forearm, but Lan Chen's stronger. She lifts him by the neck, pins him with his back against the pillar like it's easy, like he's no heavier than a newborn puppy. He's making painful, dry, choking gasps as he fights for air, his eyes popping in his head, legs kicking under him.
You do not speak to her,
Lan Chen says, her voice perfectly even. She isn't out of breath at all.
You do not touch her. You do not look at her. Understood?
He can't nod in this position, gives a frantic half jerk of his head, blinking rapidly.
Good,
Lan Chen says, and drops him. He crumples to the floor, gulping for air, massaging the front of his throat. Wing's still staring at him when she feels Lan Chen's palm, proprietary on the back of her neck.
Let's go,
she says softly, her breath tickling Wing's ear, and steers Wing out of the hall towards the exit, keeps touching her all the way to the car.
You didn't need to do that,
Wing says in the passenger seat once she can speak. It's clean in there, smells of nothing but the leather seats and Lan Chen herself, and Wing feels like she can take a full breath in again.
Actually, it's kind of fucked up that you did that. Everyone's going to think that we are... you're my...
Alpha. That she's our alpha. Just thinking the word causes another gush of slick, and Wing groans internally, prays it doesn't soak through her jeans. Lan Chen starts the car, reverses out of the parking lot. Wayne tries not to watch her hands on the steering wheel.
It's getting worse,
Lan Chen says.
We'll need to keep you at home for a few days.
We'll need to,
Wayne thinks dazedly. Like Lan Chen is making the executive decision for both of them. She has a feeling this whole situation has got away from her somehow, taken on a life of its own and started walking around, getting in trouble.
I don't get why this is happening,
she whines.
Surely when I'm sick, I can't smell anything. But this is like the opposite. Everything smells so bad, it's making me want to throw up. Apart from you, Lan Chen,
she reassures hastily.
You always smell so clean and nice.
I don't know what that cologne uses, but it's amazing.
She thinks she sees the corner of Linton's mouth tuck upwards.
What's that Jin Zishun guy's problem, huh? Did you hear him? He called me Omega, like he was a slur. Which not only is that offensive to Omegas, it's also just inaccurate. Like, where are you even getting this?
The half-smile slides straight off Linton's face.
Ling, she says, slowly, with the air of someone breaking terrible news. You are an Omega.
Wayne laughs. I can see why you might think that, Linton. Jiangcheng used to always say it too. He said I'm so clingy and touchy, there's no way I could be any policeman but Omega. That's just another dumb stereotype. I never presented.
You're presenting now.
Wayne falters, half laughs. But Linton is deadly serious.
You're going into heat.
There's a long pause. No sound apart from the low rumble of the car engine, the whoosh of other cars flashing past.
But, says Wei Ying, I'm too old for that, aren't I? I never heard of an Omega presenting after age 20.
Regardless,
says Lan Chen and leaves it hanging.
But,
says Wei Ying again, feebly, she supposes it adds up. The fever, the sensitivity, the smells, the slick. It's just that Wing is so used to thinking of herself as a beta now. She always thought she was so lucky to avoid all the dynamic drama. In first year, she'd always been the one to go to the grocery store to buy bags of ice and cold gel packs for her roommates, bring them popsicles and bottles of Powerade, send them check-in texts. She figured that was her role. The idea of being the one in need, vulnerable and defenseless, makes something inside her flinch.
Lanchen, are you sure?
Lanchen clears her throat, something Wei Ying has never heard her do. Her eyes stay on the road, but when Wei Ying looks, she sees Lanchen's ears and neck are lightly flushed.
I'm sure.
How do you know? Are you...
I can smell you.
She interrupts. Oh, Wing says faintly. The leather car seat squeaks as Wing squirms, pressing her legs together.
And what does it smell like?
Linton exhales slowly, shakily, through her mouth. For a moment, Wing thinks she isn't going to reply, but then she speaks, and her voice is a cadence lower than usual. Wing can feel it in her body like it's rattling her bones.
Like summer air,
she says.
Heat, pollen, citrus fruit and honeysuckle.
Wing wets her mouth. She's getting warm again.
And do you... Linton, do you like that smell?
I do.
Lanchen's voice drops even more, to a gravely murmur.
I like it.
Wing has to bite back a groan. She is squeezing her thighs together, abdomen tensed up. She has to think about it to relax, and when she does, another heavy rush pours out of her, this time definitely dampening the denim of her jeans. Lanchen's mouth falls open. Like she's tasting the air.
There it is.
Wing doesn't quite manage to stop her own whimper this time. She falls forward and dropping towards her knees.
Lanchen.
It feels good to say her name. Wing's tongue caressing the roof of her mouth. Buzzing behind her teeth.
Cha. Lanchen. Can you hurry?
The car's rumble gets louder as Linton floors it. She's broken out in chills again by the time they make it home, shivering. Her teeth ache, keep clacking together as they chatter, and the impact pounds in Wing's head.
She just wants Lantern's hands on her, wants to be buried in her chest, wants to be held tight in her big arms, taste her sweat. Wanted, she thinks, like a chant in her head, urgent and panicked. Wanted, wanted, wanted. She is licking near constantly now. Lantern goes around to open the car door for her, and Wayne climbs out slowly, gingerly, hobbling towards the front door, feeling fluid dribble down her trouser leg. Lantern doesn't touch her again. She holds open the front door, careful and courteous, then keeps precisely one pace behind her. It's driving Wayne insane. When Wayne goes to her room to peel out of her soiled clothes, Lantern doesn't even follow her inside, just stands behind the half-closed door.
I can run you another bath,
Lantern offers.
No,
snaps Wayne. It's even wetter than she thought when she pushes her jeans now. Both her thighs are shiny with that. The fluid isn't just coming from her pussy. It's coming from her asshole, too. Both holes soaked and ripe for alpha knot. She'd only been vaguely aware that was a thing.
I can call someone, says Lantern. Your sister?
No!
Wayne wants to cry. Lantern's hoodie is on the floor. She picks it up, presses her face into the soft, well-worn cotton, rubs it against her cheeks. Her skin is so raw and sensitive, it feels like it's chafing. Breathing in the scent of Lantern is good, but it's not enough. She stuffs the material in her mouth, shoving it so deep in, she nearly chokes.
Or that friend of yours, Nihoi-sang?
At the sound of another Omega's name in Lantern's mouth, Wing's whole body reacts like she's been burned, jerking. She spits out a mouthful of hoodie.
No!
Wenning?
No! Lantern, no!
She really is welling up now, standing naked in the middle of the spare room, swallowing around a lump in her throat, vision blurring.
Don't call anyone, please. I don't want anyone but you.
This seems to be a magical combination of words, because Lantern's voice goes infinitely gentle.
Wayne, will I bring you some clothes?
Wayne's shoulders are shaking with sobs, but she manages to get out a...
Please.
She slumps on the floor, drawing her knees out to her chest, trembling, as she listens to Lantern's footsteps get further away and closer again. When she looks up, Lantern's hand is reaching around the door, holding a bundle of neatly rolled clothes. Wayne scrambles over on her knees to snatch them. There's a soft gray tank top and, oh, Lantern's workout shorts, still unwashed. Wayne can't help it. She sniffs at them, huffing the filthy reek of alpha sweat. Her mouth drops open on an involuntary moan.
Wayne,
comes Lantern's voice sharply.
Get dressed.
Yeah,
Wayne says, her voice uneven. She's going to. She will. She just needs a minute. Because it smells so good. And her clit is throbbing. And she feels like she thinks she might...
Now,
says Lantern. And Wayne tears her hand sharply away from where it drifted, unbidden, to her pussy. Get dressed.
Right.
She does so quickly. The shorts are baggy, but fit high up on her waist when she pulls the drawstring tight. The top, though, gapes, the neck falling halfway down her chest. The material is so thin, her painfully hard nipples stand out sharp and obvious like thumbtacks. Still, with Lantern's clothes next to her skin, she immediately feels calmer.
Done,
she calls. Lantern pushes the door open. For a moment, they look at each other. Wayne feels Lantern's eyes drag over her like a physical touch, lingering on her gleaming thighs, or her half-exposed breasts, coming to rest on her face. She doesn't say anything,
but she nods, and Wayne feels the approval sing in her veins. Wayne isn't hungry, still feels woozy and hot. Melanchthon cooks her tomato and scrambled eggs and makes her eat it sitting up at the kitchen island with a towel spread out on the stool on her legs.
"Hi," Wayne says through a mouthful of egg, looking up for her phone screen.
"I'm researching, and according to this health site, I'm not even in full heat yet."
Linton's sitting opposite her, watching from over the rim of her cup of tea.
She says, unfazed.
"What do you mean, You don't think that's fucked up? Linton, I can barely function! What's it going to be like?"
Linton hums low and considering.
"You will need to decide what to do," she says. "For example, I have some toys you could borrow, provided you're comfortable with that."
Wayne pauses with chopsticks halfway to her mouth, frowning.
"Toys?"
"Not in dildos,"
Linton says casually,
and Wayne chokes dramatically. She coughs so much, Linton gets up and fills her a glass of water at the sink. When she's recovered, she says,
"But Linton, you're an alpha! Would you even have something like that?"
Linton gives her a cool stare, eyebrows raised, and Wayne flushes in mortification.
"Oh," she mutters.
She remembers Nihoi Sung's comment about the harem of Omegas. How many others has Linton helped through their heats? She thinks she should feel better, calmer maybe, knowing Linton is equipped with the knowledge of how to deal with the heat. Less humiliated knowing she has seen other Omegas writhe and shake and lose it.
She doesn't.
The kitchen gives a sudden swerve around her, and she has to slap a hand down to the counter, her palms cold and sweaty.
"Wing!"
Linton moves in a flurry, is behind Wing in the next second, hands gripping the sides of her arms. Her body is warm, pressed along Wing's back. Wing allows herself to sink against it, head lolling back on Linton's stomach. "Okay," she says, a little breathy.
"Bet,"
Linton says firmly. It's coming on again, another wave of it. She stumbles twice on the way to the bedroom, but Linton is there to steady her, places a hand on the small of her back to usher her across the threshold, and then they're inside, and Wayne's breathing a sigh of relief. The scents are just right here, Linton's mingling with her own. She bounces onto the bed, collapses face forward, moaning helpfully, rubbing her face on the sheets. She sighs, then turns her head to peer at Linton, who's rummaging around in the closet for some reason.
"Hey, Linton, what are you doing?"
"The toys,"
Linton says. Wayne thinks about using a dildo from one of Linton's previous conquests and nearly gags.
"No,"
she moans, screwing her face up and burying it in the sheets again.
"I don't want it. I don't want it."
Her voice is muffled. She feels a dip in the bed beside her, and then Linton's palm, firm and hot, in the center of her back.
"Then what do you want, Wei-Ying?"
"I don't know. I don't know."
But she does know.
"Lie down with me?"
She expects Linton to get in at the other side of the bed, but instead, she feels Linton climb over her, settling with one knee on either side of her hips.
"Huh?"
she says, rising up onto her elbows and twisting her head back to look. But Linton places a hand on the back of her neck and shoves her face down onto the pillows. Hard. Wayne cries out. Her brain goes white for a few seconds, filled with static. It's been flowing steadily between her legs for the last hour or so, but now she feels her gut wrench with almost painful desire, and a long, thick glob surges under her thighs.
She's going to ruin Lenchen's bedsheets, he thinks, smearing them with her slotty Omega slick. Lenchen's going to be able to smell her for days. At the thought, she moans again.
What?
She manages.
What are you doing?
Arms above your head,
Lenchen says, instead of an answer. Wings obeying before she's thought about it, stretching towards the headboard. And then Lenchen's pushing the tank top down her back, over her head, down her arms, leaving it looped around her wrists, a suggestion of a bond.
Keep them there.
Wings squeezes her eyes shut, overwhelmed, shifting her hips against the sheets. She can feel the soft scrape of Lenchen's corduroys against her half-bare thighs. Lenchen's sitting very carefully, keeping most of her weight off Wing's back.
We want more.
She wants Lenchen to crush her against the mattress, envelop her in woody, smoky scent, suffocate her, choke her.
This will help,
Lenchen murmurs, and Wing gasps and jerks at the feeling of Lenchen's cool fingertips on her back, first running her fingernails in light, teasing arcs over her shoulders, then pressing in harder with her thumbs, working in small circles parallel to her spine. It's deep pressure, a rough, dry, painful drag, the only lubrication from the light dew of sweat on Wing's back, but that only makes it better. Wing wonders if Lenchen's leaving marks behind. Her mouth fills with saliva at the thought. She sighs into the pillows, head drooping, lets herself drift. There's a low buzz in her head growing louder, louder, a heat creeping up her neck. She can feel the sweat cooling her skin under the faint air conditioner breeze, and it makes her shiver. She's unaware of time passing, of anything apart from Lenchen's hands working their way down the length of her spine, agonizingly slow. When Lenchen reaches the dip at the base of her spine, Wing's hips rise involuntarily off the bed.
Still,
Lenchen growls, and she... That can't Wing's ass. Crack! Wing's so shocked, she yelps. Her right ass cheek stings sharply, and then it's like her pain and pleasure receptors rearrange themselves somehow. Everything goes hot and tingly, Wing's nerves lighting up. Which is weird. Wing doesn't like pain. She thinks she'd know if she liked pain. Lenchen's thumbs smooth over the swell of each ass cheek, begin kneading gently over the cotton of her shorts, and Wing mules, goes boneless. She's trying to do as Lenchen says, but she can't help the little twitches of her hips. She's been on the edge forever now, it feels like. Desperate and unable to touch herself. She doesn't think it'd take much to come, just a single touch or a word from Lenchen. Actually, she is sure she could come right now, any second, but she forces herself to hold back, even though it makes her thighs shake. She knows Lenchen is unfazed by the sight of an Omega in heat, but she's still not sure if she's allowed.
Good,
says Lenchen. Presumably at Wing's compliance, her slow melting into the mattress. She drops a little more of her weight onto Wing's legs, like a reward, and Wing gasps because...
What's that?
Something big and thick and hard is resting between her ass cheeks. Lenchen doesn't answer. Wing's never had sex with an alpha before, but she knows a little about this. About how some female alphas can... grow when they're aroused. Lenchen is aroused? She wants to fuck Wing? Wing nudges her ass back against Lenchen curiously, and Lenchen growls again, this time a deep, feral animal sound, and digs her nails in brutally hard. A wave of scent floods Wing's nostrils. Lenchen's scent, but there's a new undercurrent. Dark and musky, needy and intense. Huh. Lenchen wants to fuck her. She wants to fill Wing up with her huge alpha dick, breed Wing with her thick knot.
Jen, Wayne slurs, turns her head to the side, blinking. She feels drunk suddenly. Her vision is distorted, the room softened and grainy like old film.
I think it's happening.
Says Lan Chen. The single syllable has an odd, strained note.
I think, says Wayne, you have to put it in me now.
Lan Chen breathes out in a quick, hot gust, and Wayne feels it on her back.
Wayne,
she says,
I cannot.
She cannot? Lan Chen cannot? Wayne arches her back and makes a sound she's never made before in her life. A high, distressed yowl, thrashing her legs against the mattress.
The toy,
Lan Chen starts to say, and Wayne shrieks even higher and louder. When will Lan Chen shut up about that toy?
No! No, no, no!
She chants.
Don't want a toy, Lan Chen. I want you. I'm so empty and wet. Lan Chen, it fucking hurts so bad. Can't you just put it in me? Just a little?
It's not safe,
Lan Chen says.
You're in heat. You could get...
pregnant? Yeah, I know, Lan Chen. I don't...
She only just manages to cut herself off from saying, I don't care, biting the inside of her cheek.
You can pull out,
she says instead.
Just please, Lan Chen. I need it. Please.
Lan Chen takes her hands off Wayne's ass, which makes Wayne cry out again. Every inch of her skin is oversensitive and aching. It hurts where Lan Chen is touching, and even worse where she isn't. Her muscles are beginning to complain, especially her arms, still stretched obediently over her head. Then Lan Chen's hands are snaking around her waist to loosen the drawstring of the shorts and tug the waistband down, pulling the material to her thighs, fully exposing her ass. There's some rustling, the sound of a zipper. Wayne feels it, the hot head of Lan Chen's dick pushing against the edge of her pussy.
You want it?
Lan Chen rasps. Can we make it clear?
Yes,
she moans, a little hysterical. Lan Chen presses further in, bridging her slightly.
Are you sure?
Yes! Yes, Lan Chen, please just do it!
Lan Chen does. She pushes in a long, slow slide. Her dick is impossible. Monstrously huge and thick. Even with Wayne soaked and gaping, her whole body primed, it feels like the width and length of her whole forearm, hot and throbbing, pushing and dragging against Wayne's leg in her walls. Wayne comes back to herself and realizes she's screaming, sort of, little bit enough, into the pillow.
Shh,
soothes Lan Chen. And sleeps in deeper.
I can't,
Wayne sobs.
I can't, Lan Chen, you need to stop. It's too much, it's too big.
Wayne can take it,
she says, unconcerned.
No, Lan Chen, that's what I'm saying. I can't. I'll never...
hiccuping breaths.
Taken an alpha before like this.
Lan Chen grunts. Deep and rumbling, and slides the rest of the way in one hot rush until Wayne can feel the hard jut of her hips pushed up against Wayne's ass, Lan Chen's dick reaching inside her guts like a hook.
You can take it,
Lan Chen says, breathing harder now.
And if you want to be my mate, you will take it.
Then she draws out and slams back in so hard, Wayne jostles forward on the bed.
You're...
Wayne can't think through the sharp, stinging pain, the haze of heat and lust.
Yeah.
You wanted it,
Lanta reminds her, speech syncopating with her slow, ruthless, stabbing thrusts.
You said you were sure.
I am...
Wing insists.
I do want it. Oof.
She adds, as an afterthought, and Lin Chen outright groans and folds forward, draping her chest over Wing's back, and oh, it's much better like this, with Lin Chen surrounding her, bearing down on her, pushing her into the mattress, swathing her in alpha scent. Lin Chen, still partially dressed, like she just couldn't wait to be inside Wei Ying, to grab her and take her and claim her. Wei Ying never would have guessed she'd be so selfish, so mean. Her sweat-dampened cotton undershirt is sticking to Wing's back, and she's fucking into her with short, spiteful snaps of her hips, her mouth open against the back of Wing's neck, on just the right spot for a bond mark. Wei shudders.
You want me to bond you?
She says, like she can read Wing's mind, her lips moving hot against Wing's neck. Wei moans.
Yes.
You want me to nod you?
Yes, fuck, please. Lin Chen, yes.
Lin Chen's hand slides over Wing's hip, coming to rest on her abdomen, laying her palm flat, circling slowly, once, twice.
You want me to braid you?
She says, Wing's whole body tenses, her fists clenching in the pillows, thighs shaking.
I've got to. Wing sobs. Lin Chen, I've got to. I'm going to.
Lin Chen understands instantly and dips her hand down. Wing only has to grind her clit against Lin Chen's palm twice, roughly, before she's coming. It almost hurts after being on the edge for so long, the shockwaves of pleasure too intense, and it lasts for a long time, Wing heaving and huffing and spasming. When Wing comes back down, her cheeks are wet, and Lin Chen is fucking her frantically, fast and hard, driving towards her own orgasm.
Fuck,
she greets out, as close to the edge of composure as Wing's ever heard her.
Wing.
Then she's biting down at the back of Wing's neck and coming, pulsing her own slick inside, mingling with Wing's.
Ah!
Wing cries out. Lin Chen's teeth are digging deep in Wing's skin.
That hurts! Lin Chen, I...
And then she cuts off because she feels it. The swell of Lin Chen's knot at the base of her dick, pushing around the edges of Wing's pussy, forcing her to open wider. Wing says weakly. Lin Chen's panting as she dislodges her teeth from Wing's skin. She is still moving her hips in tiny convulsive thrusts.
Oof.
Wei whispers and feels Lin Chen's knot swell further. How much bigger can it possibly grow? Wei feels like she might break.
Oof, what are you doing to me?
Lin Chen slumps forward, dropping more of her weight on Wei's back, skating hands up her sides, making her shiver. She runs a sweaty hand through Wing's hair, grabbing a handful and tugging sharply until Wing turns her head, then catching her mouth in a messy kiss. The angle is strange, and they're both clumsy and fucked out. Lin Chen's spit getting all over Wing's cheek and chin, but Wing keens into it. It's her first kiss with Lin Chen. Her first kiss with her alpha mate, she thinks dizzily, and opens her mouth for Lin Chen's prying tongue. Lin Chen nods her twice more that night, face to face the next time, so she can see Lin Chen's sweet, solemn face, her huge amber eyes, and so Wing can giggle and murmur obscenities into her mouth. They sleep for a while after that, and then Lin Chen wakes Wing up with two fingers in Wing's asshole and her dick in Wing's pussy, wringing orgasm after orgasm out of Wing until she's begging her to stop. And then two more after that. The heat recedes for a few hours in the morning, so Lin Chen cooks them hot, dry noodles.
It's good,
says Wing, tasting.
Thank you, Alpha.
and Lenten looks up at her, dark and intent. Before Wing knows what's happening, she's hauled up onto the kitchen island with Lenten's head buried between her legs, lapping hungrily at her clit, coaxing cries out of Wing with three fingers beckoning inside her pussy. The cool, dry noodles are fine.
There's no need to look so smug about it, Wing says a week later in the cafeteria.
Niwaisang sucks the last remnants of pink boba through the plastic straw until it rattles, then leans back in her chair, licking her lips and biting her eyes innocently.
Who's smug? I didn't say anything.
Wing narrows her eyes. Lin Chen had told her not to cover up the hickeys and bruises on her neck and arms.
I like to see them,
Shin murmured hotly, and leaned in to leave her tongue over a sore spot under Wing's ear. Wing had shivered and melted, and the whole thing generally seemed very sexy, until Wing walked onto campus and headfirst into Niehuaisang, whose eyes bulged to twice their usual size. She's been fending off Nihuaisang's horny questions and overall aura of insufferableness ever since.
If I was going to say something,
Niehuaisang begins, and Wing groans, but Niehuaisang plows on.
We're friends, you said. Perfectly appropriate, you said. You know, this is a really important lesson for you in life, Yingying.
Don't call me that. Niehuaisang waves her boba cup like a conductor's baton.
No one ever does anything without an ulterior motive. Write it. Learn it.
Wayne rolls her eyes.
Speak for yourself.
Linton didn't even know I was an Omega when I moved in. It was a total surprise to both of us.
Was it now?
Niehuaisang says skeptically, but Wayne doesn't have time to respond because Linton's making her way across the cafeteria, looking as tall and terrifying as ever, in a long navy man's overcoat. Only this time, she's walking over to Wing. Wing's stomach flutters helplessly. She beams.
Hi,
she says, slow blinking up at Lin Chen when she comes to a halt. Lin Chen doesn't say anything, just runs her hand up Wing's neck, tangles in her hair, and talks lightly, encouraging her head back. Wing goes as directed, tilting her head for Linton to kiss her soundly. And kiss her. And kiss her, slipping her tongue in the middle of the cafeteria, her fist clenching and unclenching in Wing's hair, sending thrills of heat up Wing's spine.
I'll see you at home,
Linton says when they part. Wing feels herself blushing bright red. Then Lin Chen gives Niehuaisang a single, disinterested nod and leaves.
Seems exactly like what someone with pure motives would do,
Niehuaisang observes.
Shut the fuck up,
says Wuhing, and steals a handful of cashew nuts for her plate. Her blush doesn't fade for the rest of the day. The end. Thanks for listening.